Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God, please help me knee deep in the river trying to get clean. He says wash your hands, get out the stains, but you best believe for this hell to pay. Yeah, you best believe for this hell to pay, Sam.
Also, we got John Bushman, which was up for the best wings on the planet just a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to have Scully's Barbecue, which is one of, got one of the most hottest rolling barbecue sauces right now in the barbecue world. Randy Hill, how are we doing tonight?
Man, you gave me the keys to the car.
It's like giving a 14-year-old a vehicle, ain't it?
I'm about to drive this motherfucker out of town.
How much you don't have
that? Nah, I've had a libation or two. You know, I got a cold. I got to fix it. You know,
yeah.
I think it's vodka for a virus and bourbon for a, you know, syphilis. I don't know. But nah, man, we're going to have a good time tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing from the Tim Bones guys. I'm going to do a little chicken segment with them, as always. And
a little
chicken cool.
With Tim Bones, huh?
You know what I like about this, Kobe? Cody, I can shut you up at any time. I can hit the damn mute button right here and
you
just
go
bye-bye.
I can do you the same thing. I'm on board now, buddy. I'm on board now.
Oh, damn it, man. I thought I got a condo.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
What are you doing
in Martha's tonight? Besides the obvious.
I'm down here having a little fun tonight. You know, sign the babe. You sign a little autograph. You know, something like that.
So what are you signing? Like titties or something? Or what are you doing?
I ain't got to sign none of those. I was practicing on a woman the other night, so I told her I said,
yeah,
to learn how to sign your boobies.
I got a pocket full of Sharpies, man. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, I hear you. I got a couple of different color ones. So.
Rainbow.
A rainbow. I ain't got no rainbow. I'm like a kindergarten. I take like four of them and, you know, kind of just make them around, make that rainbow.
I see, man. But, yeah, all that said, you're in Memphis So what are you doing around Memphis tonight? Have you been to any place to eat barbecue, or have you just been, like, hanging out, you know, signing body parts?
Signing body parts, no. We come down here to got a few things to go down. We're going to stop by Pop's Smokehouse Barbecue down there in President Island. We're going to stop by there tomorrow. So I'm going to give him a shout-out. I know he's probably listening to that. I'm coming by tomorrow, so you better cook some good food. So we'll see what happens. You never know.
Well, you know, Memphis is known for their barbecue. Now, I'm not about the dry rub so much like everybody else is, but it's pretty. I mean, are y'all hearing the echo in here?
It's just you.
It's just me. I mean, it's weird because, you know, I thought you used to echo when, you know, now that I'm in the Cadillac, I mean, so much room in here, you know, and I'm like in the, you know, the champagne room. And yes, darling, here's $5. Here's my lap dance. I'm sorry, am I part of D code?
Yeah, you can already tell that tonight is going to be lively. It is going to be very lively tonight in the Lulu Soul Smoking Radio Show. We got a lot to talk about, including myself. I'm going to call Greg Rippey and see if I can get him a Greg Rippey show. That's right. Lulu's will be on Pitmasters this coming season. I get to say that now. Didn't used to be able to. So.
Yeah, man, that damn debt was rigged. It was rigged. I'm going on the limb right now. I will say one thing, Bubba, that you ain't got no bigger fan than me. I hope you kick everybody's ass on that show.
I'm looking forward to it. I think I think we're a little bit underestimated, I guess you can say. I guess you can say that. A little bit. From what I've heard, we're the people's champ, you know, the Rocky Balboa coming in. There's a lot of big names. Probably one of the biggest name cast probably be on Pitmasters so far, you know, and I say that and people's going, well, you know, there's always been a lot of good teams on Barbecue Pitmasters, but, you know, I've looked at a lot of the names that's coming up on this series, and this is packed house. I mean, you got points champions, you got state champions, you got American Bowl.
I can't tell you, I was relieved when we didn't get on, because I realized what the hell was going on with all that. I was like, holy shit, I don't want to play against those guys, you know. So I wish you all the best. I mean, it's gonna be locked and loaded. And I think you can't talk a lot about it. You know, we all appreciate that and respect that. But man, I hope you kick some buttocks.
Yeah, I hope we do. You know, we're gonna stay true to ourselves and we're gonna do what we do every day. And you know, that's what you guys where we're at today. And you know, that's all you can really hope for and do.
You need to start this thing though, buddy. You need to get 10 bones on to start shaking off their ass right about now.
Yeah, we're gonna pull him on a little bit later in the hour, so they'll probably get a little rowdy. Thank you, dear. Thank you. So, my lady put me a drink on the table, so you know. One of my ladies.
Oh man.
Bye, girl.
Welcome to the champagne room tonight.
That's
Cody
exactly
will be
right.
pouring you some lovely libations while
I'm just there's nobody in the chat room tonight. I don't know what the deal is with that.
Well,
know,
we were late getting on, dude.
Pool, which we were late getting on, so it'll be starting getting lively here in a little bit. I'm still working out a few kinks. I'm on a different computer. Couldn't get my computer up and running, so I'm like,
that's what you get when you go to those damn porn sites, man. It'll crash your board.
Yep. Let's see here. Let me get this up on Twitter. Everybody know we're out and running that. I'm excited.
So, I tell you what, Bubba, you're going to be cooking here. Next weekend, I want to let you know about a comp we're going to be cooking. We're going down to Shreveport, Louisiana, cooking on the red. We're going to do another IBCA event. They got over 50 teams entered. And, I'll be rolling the Southern Crunk. I'll be bringing my youngest son down there. Southern Crunk, and then Andy's going to be rolling, you know, his burn one down there with his spouse, and it ought to be a pretty good time. We're going to be cooking in Tupelo, Mississippi, too, against Mr. Hank Baden.
Yeah,
coming up soon.
Down there at Tupelo, Don't Be Cruel Barbecue, though. I wish we could have went to that, but I take it as a pleasure.
Yeah, right. You know, the weekend after that Sunday, we're having the world's shortest St. Patrick's Day parade in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We do it every year with a woman that you never heard of called Bo Derek, be one of our grand marshals. And
yeah,
I will have the international.
I don't think we ever clarified that up either.
How did you ever learn to masturbate, boy? That's all I got to say about that.
I wanted to pull that up, Bo Derek. Let me pull her up right now. Let me pull her up and look at her.
I Tim Seals. I guarantee you, Tim Seals knows who Bo Derek is.
You say Tim Seals in the chat room. Might be the chat room. Are you sure you got the chat room up and running, son?
I do. I got Blake Moody, Tim Seals, and me. I guess I'm Barbecue Superstar 8093.
Oh, so it's up and running for you. I don't see anything in the chat room.
Oh, so I got you blocked out of the chat room?
Maybe. Let me.
I dig it, damn.
Let me. That's what I was saying. I don't see nobody in the chat room tonight. Let me pull up the chat room. Let me see if I can get a different chat room.
I just put something
here
on there just to check and see if you can tell the chat room's up or not.
Let's see here. I'm only showing two users, me and you. That's all I'm showing.
Nah, man. I just put a post on there, and there's Blake and Tim.
Can you see my hello?
Nah.
What? I'll tell you what.
Well, let's bring Tim Bones on, man. Let's talk to the guys.
Well, hold on. We're going to bring him on closer to the end of the show. He's going to be on in the last hour. We're going to have Smoking Scully's coming up. Then we're going to move on to John Bushman. And then we're going to close out the show with Tim Bones. Firework City, son. Firework City. Let me see if I can
now we got
chat room going.
Well, you can't put it on, midgetporn.com, man. That won't show up on your chat room.
No, probably not.
We got West Texas on here. We got Swamp Donkey on here. I mean, we got a virtual plethora of barbecue stardom.
Man, I'm losing out. I am losing out. Let me see if I can get me a chat room going here. Let me find something here. Y'all just have to deal with me now. We're live on location in Memphis, Tennessee, and having a few difficulties. But Randy Hill has got the keys to the Cadillac, the pink Cadillac, son. I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
It's probably not.
But it's the only choice. It's one of those choices you go, you kind of weigh your options.
Yeah.
You go, I ain't got no other choice, but I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. Let's see here. Maybe I can get in just a, let me see if I can just get in a regular chat room down here.
You probably don't want to get on this one, dude.
Let's see if we can get something going.
Let's give the people something to talk about, Bubba. I mean, tell me about Memphis there. I mean, where you got to go in Memphis besides the places you mentioned?
Oh, I'm facing to go to Tunica is where I'm facing to go.
What are you going to Tunica for, man?
Down there to spend the night. Got to go down there to spend the night. So
make some money?
I don't know. I might go down there and throw $25 off and see if I win something. You know, I'm not a big gambler. You know, every time I walk into the casino, I got like $30, and that's all I take with me. And I usually walk out with like $35, so I feel like I'm the hugest winner in the world. I don't know if any of y'all like that or not, but, you know, I usually go gamble 30, and then if I win 5, I feel like I just won like 1,000. So, let's see here.
Well, you better get in the chat room, dude.
I'm working on it. If y'all just give me just a... I'll tell you what, won't we bring Smoking Scully's on? You can talk to him, and I can get my chat room going. How about that? Sound good?
Let's bring him. Let's bring him, man.
Let's welcome him to the jungle. Let me find my music. It's a little erratic right now. Let me go ahead and find that. Smoking Scully's, you in the house?
I am here. I am here, locked and loaded, ready to roll.
It's all you, Randy Hill. Go ahead and light her up. Man, going.
Thank you for joining us tonight. As you can tell, we are a well-oiled machine. And,
I'm glad to be here.
And sometimes the machine, much like barbecue, doesn't turn out like you think it does. So welcome to the show. We're glad to have you tonight. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I'm down here in eastern North Carolina. Some call it God's country of barbecue, some don't. I kind of agree with the ones that do. But been competing now for 2 years. 2012 was my second season. 2011 was our rookie season, and just kind of jumped out there in the world of competition barbecue. Never really done any catering or anything like that. Just enjoyed tailgating, drinking beer, and figured, hell, why not make it last the whole weekend? So we started competing.
You're overqualified, dude. So tell me, as far as what kind of comps do you like to cook? Are you doing mainly KCBS? What kind of sanctioning bodies do you?
Mainly KCBS and some North Carolina Pork Council. which those are typically your whole hog deals. They don't do any of the other what they would consider your ancillary categories of the brisket and the ribs and all that. They're all whole hog. But that's kind of all the – if we have a local comp here in the eastern part of the state, it's going to be a whole hog event. So this kind of makes it mandatory to do those without having to commit to things that we're driving 10, 12 hours all the time. But we will travel for the KCBS events because, to me, those are much more fun than just your local whole hog deals.
Now, how are they judge? How are they judging your whole hog there? I mean, y'all breaking it down? I mean, is it
blind? They do different types of judging per event. That's one of the things I don't really like about it necessarily. Is they do some where they do on-site judging plus blind, some that do on-site judging only. Some of the events they do have certified judges for that particular sanctioned body. Sometimes you go to some and they didn't put the effort into getting the judges that they put into getting the teams, and you wind up with the locals and all this kind of good stuff, which, you know, you put that kind of effort and money into an event, you want the event to give back to you as much as you're giving to the event, in my opinion.
But if you think about it, you know, if you got eyeballs and the nose and the taste buds, you ought to be able to judge to some degree. But I know what you're saying. You don't want somebody taking a damn drag off a cigarette and then tasting your food. You know what I mean?
And they've had a case of beer. they're
I like it when they have a case of beer because I'm like the ugly woman at the bar, man. My titties get bigger the more she drinks. That's just my
They always get better looking, right? They always get
better
looking.
Yeah, you got that right, man. So you guys are doing a whole hog, and what are you going to present off the hog? I mean, are you going to have to do the loin, the ribs? I mean, is there any particular meat they're wanting off that hog, or how are y'all doing that?
Sometimes I try to stay away from the ribs if I'm doing a whole hog just because they're difficult to cut out, but difficult to really have a good presentation, in my opinion. I try to stay mainly on the shoulder area because that
right.
is the part of the hog that I feel most people are more used to, more comfortable with. Plus, it always seems to be a very moist piece of meat. So I try to stay right there in the shoulder area as much as possible. Sometimes they'll ask for a piece of the ham or a rib, and then you have to go in there and get it. And I don't mind if they do, but if I have my choice, I stay right there with the shoulder.
What about the bacon?
Oh, yeah, the bacon is always a plus if you can hit it. If you can hit the bacon and present a judge with a piece of bacon off of a whole hog, they really are truly completely impressed with the way you've done that big.
Well, see, there's one part in my life that's missing right now. I've not done a whole hog, and I'm going
Come
to do
on
one this year. I know. I mean, I feel like if you haven't done a whole hog, it's like you ain't like a real, you know, barbecue dude. You've got to do whole hog. It's like
the
holy grail.
Right.
I'd like to do a whole cow, too. I figure Ernest Cervantes might help me out with that down in Texas or something. But, you know, but doing a whole hog, though, it's different because you got the loin that you don't want to get too overcooked while you're trying to do your other meats. How do you
right.
keep from overcooking that loin, Bubba?
Well, you really have to keep – I stay on top of the basting process. Okay, I try to add moisture as much as possible, and then if you need to rotate the pig, if you need to flip the pig, if you need to wrap the pig, you just got to do what you got to do to keep the certain parts moist from overcooking while the other ones catch up, or if you need to wrap them in foil with the shoulders and the hams and let the other ones so they kind of cook a little bit faster, you know, then you have to do that. You have to pay attention to your body. You can't just shut the grill and let it roll and hope for the best in the next 10 or 12 hours.
You just nailed it, in my opinion, about what makes a person a really, really good barbecue cook, and that's paying attention to what you're cooking, you know,
exactly.
paying attention to what that meat's doing. So are you doing it running style, or you laying him on his back?
I lay him on his back. I'm sure a lot of you have seen Myron Mixon lay him on his back using it as a bowl. That's one thing I do believe in. It helps hold
yeah.
a lot of the moisture in. It helps hold a lot of the seasonings in. Many people around here do them running style. They do them skin up. They want to crisp the skin. Well, if the skin's crispy but the meat is shitty, what have you done? You just made yourself some cracklings.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
I like
me.
I like
some
cracklings.
I like me some fatback.
Yeah, fatback is off the chain. I do love that, but I don't want to cook a 120-pound hog just to get me a little fatback and some cracklings.
Well, that's what I was about to run. That's what I kind of wanted you to spell out to us. What's the advantages and disadvantages to each style of cooking said pig?
Ooh, you mean skin up versus skin down?
Yep.
Well, you skin up. If you go skin up, you do get crispier skin because the heat, the smoke, a lot of times you'll rub it down with salt. Just the skin only helps draw some of that moisture out. You will get crispier skin than you will when it's down. When it's skinned down, it's just holding all that moisture, so it's really hard to wick it away from the skin. Skin up, you get better skin. You can get good, moist meat, but you really, really have to be on top of your game. And it's very difficult to cook the various parts of the pig skin up, in my opinion, and nail every one of them. It's easier to do it when it's skinned down, in my opinion. The only thing you're not going to nail necessarily is the skin itself. But if you can pull that skin off and save the meat, if you're not doing an on-site judging and you can throw the skin back on there by itself, you can crisp it up in a half hour and get the same effect.
Stick that shit in a frying pan, bro.
Stick that shit in a frying pan. That's right. But at a competition, it's hard to have a bunch of frying pans. At least one big enough to hold a whole hog skin in there.
Yeah, you can get a whole hog in that bad boy.
Now, do you use your sauce on that? Is that how your sauce come along, cooking a whole hog?
My sauce actually came along doing KCBS events. Doing the whole hog in Eastern North Carolina, man, it's got to be all vinegar and pepper and some sugar and that kind of stuff. Very thin, vinegary sauce. When I started the KCBS event, I knew going into that it wasn't going to work. It's Kansas City Barbecue Society, it's not Eastern North Carolina Barbecue Society. So I started playing around with making my own recipe. And to be honest with you, I was dumb enough to think that you didn't really want to use a bottled product, whether it was being on the forums or not, so I started making my own. Went out to the very first event. I picked a small event here in Eastern North Carolina. I said, nobody will be at that one. It'll be one I can test this thing out, see if I like it. Turned into the fairgrounds, and there stood Tuffy Stone and Meyer Mixing Coffee. And I'm like, oh, shit, well, I got myself into something here. If I could have backed my trailer out, I might would have gone home, but I was like, fuck it, I'm here, let's roll. And so we jumped out there, and we finished ninth in pulled pork using my sauce and fourth in ribs using my sauce and my dry rub. And man, had the hook from there and been rolling ever since. And just back in this November 2012, I actually got it professionally bottled, you know, for retail, and it had really taken off for us.
Yeah, it does seem like it's doing very, very well. You know, it's kind of like a tomato base / vinegar sauce. Is that correct? You sent me some. I've used it. It's a little bit of both. It's kind of in between medium there.
It's a little bit of both. Straight out of the bottle, you do get a good punch of the vinegar and some pepper. But when you use it as a glaze or mixed in with your pork or on chicken on the grill, the sweetness from the sugars comes out of it and really kind of mellows out some of the vinegar and really makes it a very versatile sauce that can be used on very many meats.
What about you, Randy?
I'm like everybody else. I take my sauces and cut them. I mean, it's just what you do. But I'd like to get my hands on some of that. That sounds pretty good to me. You know, I'll give it right now. I'll put it on goddamn chat. I'll write the chat room. Try not to cuss so much, man. It's unbecoming of me, I've been told.
I'm putting it in the chat room right now.
And you can send that care of Southern Crunk Barbecue Society. So you're doing a little KCBS. And you said you like KCBS a little bit better than the other comps that you've been doing. Can you tell us why you tend to like the KCBS style a little bit better?
Well, they seem to be run in a more uniform fashion. If you go to a comp in Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, you're going to get kind of the same standards. KCBS has done a really good job with setting their standards and what they expect to have in competition and making sure the KCBS directors understand that. So I feel like I can go to one anywhere, and I know what I'm going to get myself into. The level of competition may be higher than others. There may be a larger field than others, but I know I'm going to get the same, supposedly I'm going to get the same type judging from place to place to place. The same judges, but the same type. I like cooking the various categories. I like being able to do pork, pulled pork, the ribs, the chicken, the brisket. If I want to do some ancillary categories, anything but, I can do that as well. That's really right. What I like. I like showing a broad spectrum, not just one product.
You know, the one thing I hear from a lot of people that like that consistency of judging, and I sound like a schizophrenic when I talk on the show because I love it and I hate it at the same time.
But you are.
You know, just don't listen to the voices in your head. You know. But what I'm saying about that is, you know, the KCBS, they've kind of got a little format now. You know, you learn how to cook to that style, and once you nail it, you don't vary from it. And it does tend to get away with a little bit of creativity in the barbecue scene. So that's why I've kind of enjoyed just mixing it up. Like this year, Andy and I, we're going to roll some KCBS, we're going to roll some IBCA, I'm going to cook an MBN event, I'm going to try to go down and cook a Lone Star event because that's all the damn station I can find around here outside of Memaw's backyard kitchen cook. But, and that's what makes barbecue fun. I mean, you know, I'd love to cook a whole hog in a cop. I mean, I haven't done it yet. I'm, you know, I would kind of look like a whole hog sometimes. But
come on down to North Carolina. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
Now, you saw that picture, didn't you, boo?
I'm going to have to Facebook that up, son. I mean, can y'all only imagine Randy Hill on a leopard speedo? He sent me a picture today. Let me tell you. Everything my woman has that is leopard has been burned in the backyard because I don't want to rephase those memories.
Hey, that will give you a barbecue boner, guaranteed, my friend. I rolled that leopard skin speedo on a friend of mine out in Memphis at the Sam's Club event. I told him it's an inside joke, but I thought I was going to get his ass back. And so I just kind of walked over to him in his pit wearing that damn leopard skin speedo. And the next thing I know, everybody starts like looking at me and shit. And I was afraid I was offending people because this little lady around the corner for me that's cooking, I thought she was going to vomit. So I was like, I got all dressed. I walked over to her. I said, "Ma'am, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you with you on my codpiece and my speedo." She said, "I wasn't bothering it." She said, "She thought it was the funniest shit she ever seen." And they had like this little mini swimming pool. I'll never forget it, with a little palm tree in the middle of it because it was hotter than the devil's ball sack. And we walked over there, and I put my speedo back on, and I hung out in their pool.
In barefoot.
Can you top that one, Cody?
Yeah, but I'd rather not talk about it.
You ain't got a hair on your ball, son. You ain't got a hair on one. So as far as like KCBS events out in the Carolina region, where are you thinking about cooking this year?
We're going to go to Lexington. I'm sending off applications this week, actually, for the Lexington event in April. I believe it's the 26th and 27th. That's become a pretty popular event. We're actually doing a Frostbuster, which is a non-sanctioned event in March that some friends put together, all KCBS-type teams. And it's kind of knock the rust off from the winter, knock your dick in the dirt type stuff. Get a competition behind you without having to do all the travel. We got some certified Kansas City Barbecue Society judges coming in. We're all going to get together, of course, have a few drinks, and actually run a comp schedule. And he's going to kind of set it up the way Pitmasters has done their stuff, where it's going to be blind judging, but we're going to actually be able to see what they're saying and tasting at live, you know, just as the contestants do on that show. So that's going to be a really nice way to get some good feedback.
That's cool right there because, you know, that's what everybody wants to see. I wish, you know, they did have like a 62-inch TV they bring out and do the whole judging live so you can watch everything. I mean, that's just top-notch right there. So, I mean, that changed the game.
Ain't nothing like getting your ass stuck back in a room and watching people tell you that your meat tastes like a dog's ass. That's exciting right there, my friend.
I'm a little nervous about it, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
I was going to line up for the ball-kicking contest, but it sounds like my friend Cody signed up ahead of me. So just remember that, Cody, man. You wrap them up high and tight, brother. High and tight.
I can only say one thing. I will have a very big sharp knife with me when I go on barbecue pit matches.
You might need it to cut your balls off when they get done with you, my friend.
I might go in and just take dead last. You never know what might happen.
I am a bronze medalist. Well, let me ask you this. If you guys were going to put together a barbecue show, what would y'all want to see?
Oh, if we were going to put together one?
Yeah, if you and you and Creeps. First of all, I got to see some titties.
Because
I like
always tails, right?
Well, I like titties. You know, I mean, it just is what it is. So, I got to see some titties. And barbecue would be good, too. I'm sorry if I'm offending the female audience.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it would be interesting, you know, and they kind of did this with the season one or whatever with the Hall guy from Texas. But it will be kind of interesting to see more newer teams learning as they go along type deal. It's great to watch the very experienced ones, the season ones where you can maybe pick up a few things. But I think it will be fun to watch the ones who get to an event and we've had some run-ins. You get in there and you can't figure out how to get the damn trailer into the parking place. You don't have
a Hold on. I got a story for that one.
Do it.
We went to a contest in Kentucky, and we have a 24-foot customized trailer. And we told the lady before we come, we went to the contest before. They had tons and tons of room. Well, they swap locations. So we go down there, and I said, she's like, we got plenty of room. My buddy's got like a 32-foot camper, and he was going to bring that. And then we got the 24-foot trailer. So we get there, and she's like, it's around the square. We got plenty of room, tons of room. We get there, they have nowhere to put us. We drop the trailer in the middle of the road, and they come in with a tractor, and move our trailer around because they couldn't take up the parking spot where they was having cornhole at that nobody showed up at to play.
And I'm like, why can't we have cornhole?
Yeah, cornhole. You know, a game where you throw beanbags into the hole. Well, anyway, there's like we're having a cornhole tournament, and we can't pick up that space. I'm like, what did I come here for? Did I come here for a cornhole tournament, or did I come here to cook barbecue? What is your main feature here?
Exactly.
Well, anyway, they about ripped the axles out from underneath our trailer, trying to put it in, trying to move it around. And then about we were so disgusted. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was really ridiculous. We won't go back to that contest, so I won't say the name of it. But you know, but go ahead, you can finish your story. That's how I throw it in there.
A cornhole contest?
Yeah,
that sounds like something they do down in freaking Key West.
Yeah, I saw Troy Frass. He knows all about cornholing.
Cornholing? I'm sorry. That's making me laugh.
I hope the life of me that's not an actual thing.
You just made a guest log out for that, man. Your cornhole is running people off.
John Bushman said you need to get your microphone out of your throat, Randy. Randy does have a cold tonight, so I'm just going to give him props on that. So he does have a cold tonight.
And by the way, I keep trying to mute myself when I go to coughing. So you know, if I'm a little late, I'm sorry. You're not pregnant.
He said you're eating chips or pudding.
Hey, I got a little Bushman story we're going to tell later on tonight.
Yeah, we'll bring him over here shortly.
No, he's a hell of a good guy, man. He knows how to have fun. So, as far as the four categories of meat that you cook, which do you prefer?
Pork is probably our strongest, the pulled pork. And after that, it really kind of becomes even among the other three. I was actually able to go to the American Royal this past year with another team. We didn't qualify. We came close. We had two reserve grand champions and a third overall, but couldn't quite pull off a grand. But another team, some good friends of mine out of Raleigh, North Carolina, asked me to go, and they wanted me to go to do the port. They said, if they were going to go that far, they wanted to do the best presentation they could. So I was very excited to be able to go. I was very honored to be able to go with them. And we did pretty well in pork. There was only, I think we finished, 139th or 49th or something. But the difference between, 10th place and 139th is, 11 points and shit like that. You know, at that point in time, it's, you know, you've done the best you can do. It's just which table do you get, you know, to be 11 points, but 120-some spots.
Man, you just hit on that one right there, man. It's just who the hell likes your food and who doesn't. You know,
exactly.
I can't.
You know.
I know all about the science of taste buds. You know, they sent me to school for that. And yeah, that's working out. Not so good. Never trust a sick doctor or a skinny cook. As I cough. Anyway. So how far west do you make it out of Carolina?
We're probably going to go to Sevierville, Tennessee this year. That's as far west as we've been so far. As more doors open up and the ability to travel becomes a little easier with sponsorships, if we get any more of those and that kind of thing, then we're going to do a lot more traveling. But, you know, it's 1 week at a time, one comp at a time, and see how things fall into place.
So what are you cooking on? What's your pits like?
I have a Vionic oven by Barbecue Guru, and then
mm-hmm.
I have a Traeger. I have just a Traeger pellet smoker, and that's the two.
A
Traeger pellet smoker.
What?
Yep.
Did he say pellet smoker?
Yep, I got a Traeger. Yep.
Yeah, y'all heard that. He said pellet smoker. That's right. Damn on. Keep going.
Exactly. And I run those two. That's it.
Now moving on to the segment of the show called Shiggin' with Randy. What kind of pellets are you using there, my friend?
I use a hickory with a combination of cherry and apple. And it's
cherry
and apple.
What's a brand name you use?
Traeger.
Traeger? You use Traeger?
Yeah, I use Traeger. That's what I get locally. I know there's others out there, but I don't want to order them, or I don't want to pay shipping. So
right,
I get the Traeger ones. And they've done me just fine, man. I mean, we did six comps in 2012, and I got 16 trophies I'm looking at right now. So
Check out Barbecue's Delight. Barbecue's Delight, they're real cheap. It don't hardly cost nothing to get it shipped a whole pallet to you, half a pallet to you. They're really good on pricing.
I have tried some of those.
In this segment of the show is called Whoring with Cody.
That was last week.
He'll whore out any product that you want to sell. I'm sorry, dude. No, actually, Candy's from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. She's awesome, and she has some great product, you know, and we always want to take care of her. I just can't, you know, pass up, you know, kicking Cody in the ball. So, you know, you do what you do.
I don't blame
you. Now, let me ask you, what meats are you putting on your Traeger? Your short meats or your long meats?
Well, in the competitions, I'm assuming you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
not in your personal life.
Okay. In the competitions, I start out with one Boston butt on the Traeger. I typically have one Boston butt on the Traeger and one in the Onyx oven. And then when I pull it off to rest, I'm usually putting ribs, and then when I pull my ribs, I transfer those, and then I finish my chicken on the Traeger. So the Traeger really gets a lot of work.
Let me what do you notice, because I always have people ask me, what do you notice difference between the pellet smoker and your do you cook with charcoal or wood on your other cooker?
I lump charcoal, and then I add wood chunks, fresh pecan right. wood chunks out of my grandma's property. I fortify it with that.
What do you notice different that brings to the table, the pellet smoker brings to the table, other than the other cooker you use? Because everybody's always, you know, down to me about the pellet smoker, you know, different things, or, you know, wanting to know about it.
Yeah. What I find, well, with that Onyx oven, both of them, and you got the Barbecue Guru with it, both of them I can lock into a temperature, man, and I can hold it right there for hours upon hours upon hours. The only thing I got to do is just make sure my fuel source is where I need it to be. But with the pellet smoker, I have the ability, if I want to get more of a fruit wood smoke into it right now, if I want to add more cherry, more apple, more peach, I have the ability of doing that almost instantaneously. You know, I can take some pellets out, add some fresh pellets in of a certain flavor if I feel like that's what I need to be doing. Just those things do not look very large, but, man, you can really fit a lot of meat on those things at one time.
I've had
six Boston butts on my Traeger at one time, and that's just amazing for no bigger than it is. I can get up and going in about 15 minutes and be ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, we got the 125s. You can get at least eight on there. So, I mean, you know,
really?
That's amazing. Yeah. But, you know, everybody always says you don't get enough smoke with the pellet smokers. I've never really had a problem with it, but, you know,
I
always say they can't
get
enough smoke. That's what I'm saying. I get enough smoke I want, and, you know, it blends in real well, and that's why
yeah.
I like. I want to taste that meat.
I get all the smoke
a little bit of smoke.
You know, and
I don't want
smoke to me is a flavor component, not the flavor
right.
of the meat. You know,
right.
if it was the flavor of the meat, why would you rub it? Why would you inject it? Why would you sauce it? You know, it's a flavor component. It's there to complement not only the meat that's on the smoker, but the rubs, the sauces, the injections, everything that you do, that smoke is there to complement it, not be the dominating factor.
Yeah, that's what we look at. We look at that. You know, we look at four complements of the meat. We look at you want to taste the meat, you want to taste the smoke, you want to taste the seasoning, and you want to taste the sauce. You want all
exactly.
four of them to taste and just be equal. You don't want them to overwhelm. And,
you don't want them to overwhelm, but
it.
Most importantly, the meat is the star of the show.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go one step farther. I will say the sure way to fuck up what you're cooking worse than anything else is to oversmoke your meat.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a kiss of death, man. You bite in that shit, it tastes like creosote. It's like, eh, you know, and to me, that's a fine line when you're cooking, you know, when people roll that black smoke out of their pits and you just
exactly.
see the creosote forming. It
yep.
makes me happy.
You know,
it makes me happy to see that in a competition.
And when we was out here in Memphis, you know, and that's like, you know, Central Barbecue was on the show Pitmasters. They was cooking against 10 Bones. 10 Bones will be on a little bit later in an hour. And, you know, what he pulled out of his smoker that day, and he said, well, they're overcooked and a little bit dark, was the same thing I got at his restaurant. The exact same
really?
Thing. And I went to the restaurant he's at. I went to the exact same place, the one that everybody says. I don't remember what street it's on, but anyway, it's like the first one. And they look the same, and they taste the same. They was oversmoked. I mean, the pork was dry. The pork was oversmoked. And, you know, Chris Chad was sitting next to me. He says, you know, that's some good pork. And I'm like, that shit's oversmoked. It's dry as hell. I mean, you know, I just don't understand that. And I believe that because, you know, when we first started out, I oversmoked all kinds of crap. You know, the inside of the smoker was black.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I don't want to taste that. I don't want to taste that. You know, I don't believe good food should be – all about the smoke. I think it should be, you know, well within the meat of a good flavor.
No, I agree with you 100%. I agree. And that's the one thing I do get from the pellet smoker. And the Onyx oven does the same thing. But the pellet smoker, I really like being able to change the flavors on the fly with that thing.
Right.
You know, and it's just so consistent. You know what I mean? As long as
you
got
power. Yeah, I mean, that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say,
you're
using electricity. Well, you know, it's no different than a gravity speed. It's no different than a old hickory pit or anything else.
Did the cavemen have electricity?
Did the cavemen have electricity? Are you cooking under?
No.
Let me ask you this: are you cooking on a rock, son? Are you cooking on a rock? I'll tell you this. Let me bring it down to this. If you want to be a true barbecuer and a true pit master and whatever else everybody always talks about, blah, 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 get you four-cylinder blocks and a grate and build you a fire underneath that and cook your meat on that. And then you can be a true pit master. But
exactly.
nobody does any of that. But, you know.
I will cook on a rock and then stuff a mud hole in your ass and walk it dry, Cody.
Whatever. You know, hey, let me, you know, the season where they had pit masters and they had the cylinder pits in there and they had the full, they had the tin to where they had.
Yep.
They
I love
the
that.
Hole,
I love that.
You know, right there, that's a true pit master right there. That's what I'm watching. You're shoveling the coals underneath it every 30 minutes. That is true barbecue. And, you know, anybody who wants to say something about a pellet feeder or a pellet smoker, I don't have a problem with it, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. It goes back to that. Until we all cook that way, it don't matter. You know,
yeah.
we all have ovens. Everybody that cooks barbecue cooks in the oven, basically, no matter what.
You know what kills me is the ones who say, man, you're cheating because you're using pellets. You've got power.
They got a barbecue
but the
guru.
The ones who are saying that are the ones who are, well, they're running gurus, possibly. But they're also
right.
the ones sitting over there in a $300,000 RV that's heated and air-conditioned with a hot shower, and they're using an electric knife to slice their damn brisket. You know what I'm saying?
It all goes back to the same thing. So, you know, I look at it, as a featured me. I am a pellet team. You know, that's what we're known for. And, you know, I like it. I really do. I like it. And I like the controversy out of it. So be watching Barbecue Pitmasters. You never know what you might get on that show, son. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. I'm ready to see you guys on there, man. Congratulations on that, by the way.
I appreciate it. You never know. We might roll out some charcoal smoker, might roll out a rotisserie smoker, might roll out a pellet smoker. You don't know what we're just playing yet. I can tell you that.
Well, the good thing about it, it keeps everybody talking about barbecue because, you know what, there ain't no right nor wrong way to do it. You know, you just do
exactly
what you
right. That's exactly right.
You know, and it's really been interesting because, you know, the evolution of cooking has changed so much. I mean, we didn't talk about a lot of injections about 3 or 5 years ago. You know, we injected some things. Now you got all these products out there. Now we got chicken products, you know, pork products, all this different stuff that you inject your meat with.
Yep.
Because Butcher, everybody's
Butcher
getting down.
Just come out with a chicken product. He just rolled out a brand new chicken product the other day.
That rat bastard, because I've been doing that crap. Now he's told everybody about it, that son of a bitch. But I love Buffka. He's great, man. He's a great guy. You couldn't meet a better guy in the world. But anyway, I mean, I just think it's just an evolutionary process. You know, you think you're cooking a really good product, and then when you taste something else that's just off the hook, you realize, man, I've been cooking a bunch of dog ass. It's kind of like drinking wine.
John,
you know,
John Bushman said, sawdust just don't cut it. And you're probably right, because all pellets are not created equally. And I'll tell you this about Traeger pellets, and a lot of people don't know about Traeger pellets, is they're made with pretty much 90% alder wood. You know, that's what they're made with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a flavor chemical in them to give it the flavor of the wood. That's what Traeger
mm-hmm.
pellets. Not all of them are the same. I got some that's actually 100% pure wood. I won't tell you what they are, but they're 100% pure wood, no matter what. So there you go, John Bushman. You'll be on the next time. We'll be eating your ass.
Yeah. Yeah,
but right now, you're going to stay quiet.
I'm gonna let y'all shake off Randy a little bit, because I want to tell you one thing that's good on chicken, Bubba, is if you can get those oak wine barrels that had the red wine in it, and if you can do that in a pellet or just get like the chips on those, that shit's good, boo. That shit's real good. You know, because it has that red wine in it, and you just got to figure out a way to do it to separate it from the rest of your meat. And I'm telling you, that'll give you a barbecue boner guarantee. And I can shut everybody up quicker than anybody else. I made y'all think. I can see the little neurons sparking in your brains right now. Like, what the hell is that boy talking about?
What the hell? You
want
a red wine barrel?
Yeah. No, the red wine barrel. The barrels, you know, the whole red wine. They have these oak barrels that they age the wine in, man. And when they get done with it, you can buy them on the internet. They chip them all up, and you can use them to smoke your meat with. And that shit's good.
I've used those. Some Jack Daniel barrels, you can get those. You can get
Jack Daniel's barrels ain't no good. They burn too hot too quick, and they don't add no flavor, man. You need the red wine barrels.
Yep. You're exactly right, and I was going to say that.
If you can put some water in the Jack Daniel's barrels, let it sit for a little while and get a little buzz.
I know, put the Jack Daniel's in my barrels. No.
Your barrels are empty, son. Don't even be talking about that. You're empty.
I hear you, babe. I hear you, man. So, any other thing you want to put out there tonight, Cody, as far as, you know, your barbecue experience in Memphis?
Barbecue Memphis and Memphis. Barbecue experience in Memphis. Not really. If you're in the area, stop by a barbecue shop or Memphis Barbecue Company, Melissa Cookson. I promise you won't go wrong with either one of those. Tomorrow I'll be eating Pop's Smokehouse Barbecue. He's supposed to be on President Island. I'm going to go see him tomorrow. He's part of, I think he got trained on the Boars Night Out team. We'll go see how that works out and see how great his food is. I know he's listening, so I think I give him a hard time. I like talking shit to him all the time. I send him messages, so we'll see how that is tomorrow. I'll let y'all know. I'm truthful. You know, I'm truthful. Everybody always asks, what do you think? And I'll be like,
that's the one thing when you're cooking at a barbecue contest, you know, people come to you afterwards, you know, come taste my stuff. And I always ask them before I taste it. I said, listen, here, I can do one or two things. I can either compliment the shit out of you and tell this stuff's great, or I can give you what I really think. Which do you want? You know, and I always want the truth. And I always appreciate people when they taste my food and they give me criticism, because that's the only way you're going to get better. You know, everybody tells your baby's pretty, and if everybody tells you your baby's pretty and keep losing, then guess what? They're lying at the ass. You know, you can read their face. You can tell when something bites it. When they have sex face when they bite into your food, your shit's good. It looks like they're about to have an orgasm right in front of you.
I get that all the time.
Yeah, right. When you look in the mirror. But I'm just telling you.
I've been noticing
more
women here lately. But I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, that's like the other week when I talked about, you know, when I was going to my grandma's house and there was a, you know, a little trailer sitting on the side of the road, and I whipped it in there, got me barbecue. I threw it to my brother in the back seat, and I said, "Hey, this is gonna be good." He was like, "Yeah, whatever." And I was like, "No, it's going to be good." You know, you can tell by the smells, by talking to the people. You can tell the people that are going to be bad because they're like, "Oh, this is the best stuff you're ever going to eat, blah, 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 you know, blah, blah, blah," and all that crap. But, you know, whipped in there, you know, it was a good sandwich. You know, I was really, you know, and that's one of the first sandwiches I've been able to eat in a long time because a lot of barbecue I get, I'm not able to eat it because it's just junk and I don't like it. And I'll just tell you straight to your face, and this is why I am.
a lot of the stuff you get at a restaurant is horrible, dude. And it's horrible.
I like the roadside stands. I feel like some of the best barbecue out of America comes out of a roadside stand. And, you know, a lot of people they call them roach coaches. But, you know, I'm telling the truth. Some of the best food you ever eat will be from a guy cooking barbecue on the side of the road because he's cooking it fresh. He's cooking it hot. He's cooking it for you. And, you know, he's trying to make it. So, you know. Not saying all of them's good, but I'm saying, you know, a lot of them will be good.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. It's the smaller ones. Just when you get into these chains and type restaurants and ones that are really trying to serve 4,000 people a day, I think, and by doing that, you have to lose some of the quality, I do believe. You know, they lose some of the heart in it. They lose some of the soul. They lose some of the effort that they put into their food, how they got started. But, you know, small guys like that.
Damn, Randy.
They rock it out pretty good.
Making a lot of noise over there. But, yeah, you know,
I
play down in Memphis.
That's
like, you know, Pop's Barbecue down here in Memphis. I don't care. You can like me and don't like me. I don't really care. But, you know, it's like Pop's Barbecue down here in Memphis. Everybody kept saying go to Pop's Barbecue. It's like the best barbecue in Memphis. I've ate at Pop's Barbecue. He's got like 40-something stores. But I've ate at Pop's Barbecue and it was some of the nasty stuff I ever put in my mouth. Actually, we didn't even put it in our mouth. We tasted it and spit it back out and threw it in a trash can, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, you're getting all those chains, it don't work anymore. You know, I look for the ones that only have one store, one product right there, and that's it. That's the ones we look for, so.
What's the nastiest thing you ever put in your mouth, Cody? I just had to ask.
What's the what?
You said the nastiest thing you ever put in your mouth, man. What's the nastiest thing you ever put in your mouth? Dog's ass?
I was going to comment, but it is Sunday night, so I'm not going to throw that one out there.
Oh, man. Come on with it.
I don't want to talk about your wife like that.
Hey, man, she's a lawyer. She'll sue you and beat your ass at the same time. If she's a criminal defense lawyer, she can put a slap in your ass and get away with it, my friend. I promise you that. I've been reminded of that so many times.
Oh, man. You could save me, though, Randy. You could save me. You're a doctor.
So. Shit. You got to get mouth-to-mouth from me. You're going to die, motherfucker.
Well, I'll tell you what. Smoke and Scully, we're coming down. We're about to get John Bushman on the radio. You got anything you want to say? Do you have a website or anything anybody can find your product at?
Yeah, we do have a website. It's www.smokeandscullysbbq.com or it's justleavethebones.com, which is the name of the barbecue sauce, Just Leave the Bones. www.justleavethebones.com. You can go on there. We have the ability to order some of our barbecue sauce on there if folks want to order it. We'll ship it out typically next day, so you get it fairly quickly. We also have a Facebook.com/SmokinSkullies, SmokinSkullies. Come check us out there. Give us a like. Give us some feedback. You know, if you see us at a comp, man, stop by. Say hello. You know, drink a beer with us. Hang out. You know, I really enjoy being on the show. I'm very honored to be here.
I appreciate you coming on. Randy, you got anything to say?
I said the honor is all ours. We really appreciate you joining us tonight and playing our little reindeer games. We try to make the show kind of fun, you know, kind of the mood we try to recreate is the one when you're out there cooking in a comp, you're just, you know, shooting the shit with your friends, you know.
Exactly.
And we consider all our listeners to be our friends and people I'd like to steal all your shit off of so I can use it for my competition. That said, though, we really appreciate it, and hope to see you on the barbecue trail somewhere.
Yeah, I hope so too. We're going to try to do, we did six last year. We're going to try to do 10 this year. Those six KCBS, and we'll try to do 10 KCBS this year. And as things progress, man, especially if we can pick up some sponsors, which is, you know, financially going to benefit us, we may do more, you know, and get out there on the trail, meet some more great people, great barbecue friends like yourselves.
Well, I'll tell you, man, barbecue's like crack. The first one's free for a reason because it's pretty damn addicted.
Hey, you got that right. You hit it on the head there.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you can tune in with us sometime. We'll get you back on the show and share your success along the way. And again, watch Cody this year as he gets on Pitmasters because we're all pulling for him.
Definitely.
Well, thank you,
you
brother.
Know,
thank you, brother.
I can be nice at times.
We'd love to get y'all down here to North Carolina sometime to hang out, maybe cook some barbecue, at least
talk
barbecue.
Oh, no, tell the truth. You'd love to get me to Carolina so you kick my ever-loving ass.
No.
Yeah, North Carolina is a long haul right there.
It sure is, man.
Hey, that's one of the states that's on the bucket list for me. You got to cook in Carolina. You know, one of my things I did when I started off cooking, I wanted to get a call in every state I ever cook in. And so far, the streak's alive.
There you are.
With the exception of Maryland, for obvious reasons, but you know, I've got a call in every state.
Why is that,
Randy?
Why is that?
We won't discuss that bullshit. But anyway, I would love to come out to Carolinas and cook, Bubba, and I appreciate all the information you shared with our listening audience tonight.
Well, again, thanks for having it on. I'm glad you guys. Well, Cody, I'm glad you tried the sauce and enjoyed it, and I'll get yours out to you.
I appreciate it.
How about shoot me a call, shoot me an email, Facebook, whatever you find necessary, and let me know what you think about it as well.
Send him some information and get him to you there so that way you can get your product. You know, I really enjoyed it, and my customers enjoyed it. So I think you got a winning sauce. I think, you know, I've been paying attention. You know, it seems to be moving really, really well across the barbecue community and different people. And, you know, it's just kind of getting it out there. So
It's a grind, but it's worth it. It's been worth it.
Well, I put my address in the chat room, so I'm going to probably get three people shit in a box and send it to me tonight, but it's worth it to get your sauce.
That's what I'm doing.
Send me a message with his address. Make sure I got the right one, please.
I will. I'll get it to you, brother.
I just hope you don't have diarrhea.
Thanks, brother. Thanks again. Are you going to meet me so I can listen to the rest of the show?
I'll just meet you and you listen to the rest of the show. Thanks, brother.
Perfect. Awesome. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for joining us. You did a great job.
Well, let's get John Bushman on here so we can get 10 bones rolling tonight. What do you think about that? Let's get him on. Pull him up. Get him rolling on tonight.
We need to get him to call in. He's on the chat room, but he needs to call us in.
Bad company, I can deny.
can already tell John Bushman is going to be bad company tonight, so I figured I'd just go ahead and throw that song out there. How are we doing to John Bushman?
I'm good, Cody. How are you, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Randy's with us tonight.
Randy, what's up? Hey, thanks for calling in, man. I'd suggest to Cody, he needs to reach out to you and have you call in because, I mean, you're doing a really good job on the barbecue scene, man. Tell us a little bit about the wings thing.
Well, you know, we did the Sam's Club event last May in Lenexa, Kansas. And just for shits and grins, you know, we turned in wings, bombed the rest of the categories. We really bombed them. And lo and behold, man, we got first place in wings, shot the shit out of me. And I thought that was the end of it, you know. We had to put together a recipe, you know, write down a recipe and give it to Tyson in order to get that, you know, $200 check. And I blew it off, and she kept sending me emails. Finally put together the recipe before it sent to her. Got the $200 check. And I thought that was the end of it. I completely forgot about it. Oh, about a month or so ago, I got an email from them saying that they had reproduced our recipe in the Tyson kitchen and we were among the top 8 finalists. Shocked the shit out of me, man. I was stoked. And the rest is history. We got on Facebook and started pimping it and, you know, pestering people and, you know. I even hit up you, Cody, and you turned me down, brother.
Yeah, hold on. What did I say to you, John? What did I say to you?
Man, you said you had to go with your boy Robert Sierra, man, with S&S. So I respect that, dude. You know, Robert's a hell of a cook. I really thought he was going to be our toughest competition in the contest, and I was shocked to see his finish. But I really thought he was – I thought he had the winning wing out of that whole deal. I wish I was second place out of the nation, you know. I was really wanting to get first place so I can get the King of the Wing t-shirts made up, you know, and all that shit.
Yeah, who won? Because I actually saw it, but I don't know who they was. They kind of come out of nowhere, the people I expected to win. They come out of nowhere. I never even expected those people to win. I don't even remember
who
they was.
I checked them out on Facebook, and they weren't really active on Facebook. But, you know, they had a great wing. It was like a blue cheese type of fried barbecue wing. It was pretty, I mean, it looked good. I haven't cooked it yet, but... they're out of Pittsburgh, I believe.
Out of where?
Out of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, not Kansas.
but you know where the wing come from, don't you? You know what state the wing come from, right?
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, Buffalo.
But yeah, I'll tell you right now, John, I cooked, you know, you saw I posted something on Facebook, and I cooked your wings, Diva's wings, and S&S wings. And, man, they were all good. I don't know how anybody picks. I really don't because they were all really, really good. And I will tell you one thing. You sent me a little information on a modification to your recipe, and I think that made a huge difference. You know, do you care to share that with everyone?
Well, yeah, man, you know.
As I shake off you.
A little bit of that chili oil. You know, in the recipe, you know, we had chili oil. And since the recipe, you know, we just kind of threw this together with a lot of help from my buddy Carl with Sweet Beaver Barbecue. And we entered in, you know, the glaze that we used there for the contest. But we kind of substituted the chili oil for jalapeno jelly. And we cut back a little bit on the honey and added the spicy barbecue sauce to the recipe. And it really took it over the top. And actually, you're going to be able to get this. Carl's going to be producing this wing glaze under the Sweet Beaver label. And you'll be able to get that stuff in the shops and the stores here real soon. I'm sure it'll be at the Kansas City Barbecue store and online.
So what else do you need? Do you think that'd be good on a chicken entry for like a KCBS contest?
No, man. This is more of a Pan-American barbecue flavor. It's nothing that I think a KCBS judge would want to see on a chicken. You know, it's got orange marmalade in it. It's kind of, you know, jalapeno jelly and, you know, stuff like that. A little bit of orange juice. You know, when we entered the contest, they were looking for a unique wing. They didn't want a buffalo-style wing or a barbecue wing, you know. They wanted something unique, and that's why Tyson was putting up, you know, all this money. So, you know, that way they could take it and reproduce it and sell it in the stores, you know.
You hit on an interesting point, you know, and I've kind of – it cuts both ways, but as far as doing KCBS – sometimes they don't reward you for trying new and interesting flavor profiles. You know, I mean, I think that'd be great to taste. But if you try something weird at KCBS, they're going to kick your ass with it.
You're going to end up with all sixes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you got to walk the line, man. They're expecting a certain flavor profile, and you deviate from that, man, you get hosed.
Well, in bringing up KCBS, I think the first time I met you was in Iola, Kansas.
Uh-huh.
And there was a little swimming pool incident that I was told about. Do you care to expand on that?
Man, apparently the city pool of Iola, Kansas, you know, they hold that contest there in their city park. And a great venue for a barbecue contest. I couldn't think of a better place to do it. But apparently the city of Iola doesn't they're not very receptive to when you bring cocktails into the pool and start having, you know, water fights and shit like that. So, we were finally asked to leave, and that kind of seems to be my M.O.
You know, cannon volleying while intoxicated in Iola is frowned upon.
I think when we had all the girls up on the shoulders, you know, playing chicken, you know, I think that kind of blew our cover. They knew something was up.
that did blow your cover, man. You're right. That's a great – you know, that competition side, that's a great side to have a comp. And I didn't make it up there last year. I cooked 2 years in a row. I never did worth a ding-dong bam up there. But those people put on a really great contest. They really do.
You know, the sad part about that is that those – the organizers are husband and wife, young couple, they actually moved to Arkansas. And they're not sure if they're going to come back to Iola to – put on another contest this year or not. So it may be gone. It may be, you know, went the way of the dodo birds.
Where did they mention in Arkansas?
Man, I need to get down. I think we're going to do Fayetteville this year. We were down there not last year, but the year before when we got kicked out of the Royals. And so we're thinking about going back to Fayetteville.
What were you doing at the Royals to get kicked out for?
Well, apparently the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department they're not very receptive to you boosting a security guard's gator and jamming it around town for a couple hours.
I had a better story than that. I got moved to the contest, and one of my buddies was with us, and they had some golf carts. We got kind of late in the hours. They had a little bit of drink, and they kind of stole the golf cart, and there's just like a stairwell, kind of like concrete, with a ramp, and they was jumping off the stairs, running around, all kinds of crap. I mean, it was kind of funny, though.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever seen at a barbecue comp?
You asking me that?
Yeah.
It'd have to be back to that same year at the Royal, 2011 at the Royal, when my, you know, I escaped. I got away. I blended in the crowd, changed my shirt, put on a hat. You know, I was good to go. That's after, you know, SEAL Team 6 came out of the woodwork and found us. But the weirdest thing I had to see is my buddy Robbie Hickson in handcuffs wrapped me out, pointing his elbow at me from behind his back. And that's the guy over there, officer. That's the guy over there. And, yeah, that was the weirdest
thing. It's always your buddies that rat you out, right, man? It's never your wife. It's always your buddies.
I got one. Right. I got a weird one. Probably the most weirdest thing I've ever seen is a redhead guy in a one-piece jumpsuit made by Dickies.
I mean, you ain't lived in, man. I was in Ashland, this city, and had these damn dogs with monkeys racing around on a track. That was kind of weird. And it gets more weird if you have a few libations. So tell me, what all kind of comps are you cooking this year? Are you going to do maybe like KCBS, or are you going to branch out a little bit?
We like to do KCBS. I got some buddies down south that want us to come down and do some Lone Star events.
You
know, I really like the consistency of the KCBS. I know someone touched on that earlier. You know what you're getting into when you go. Being in Kansas City, man, there's a contest within an hour drive of here every weekend, so that makes it real convenient. So I think we're going to stick with KCBS. We've been doing a lot of hustling on the barbecue now. You know, we've been doing a lot of vending, catering gigs lately. Last year we did 18 events. This year we're probably going to scale it back to about 13, 15, whatever we can squeeze in our schedule. And that's us right there is KCBS. I don't think we're going to do a whole lot of branching now.
So what do you think is your strongest category?
Chicken. we finished overall this year like 63rd in chicken, and last year was our third year on the circuit. So we're kind of getting things dialed in. We've got new smokers now. We got some new smokers last spring, and man, it really worked out good. We've got a great rub sponsor, Oak Ridge Rubs, and he's got some great products that we've been working with, and kind of got them dialed in. And this year, we're really hoping to hit it strong and at least win a little bit of money to pay for this hobby. It's getting expensive, brother.
Yeah, we're going. Randy, we're going to talk to him about some chicken, ain't we?
Yeah, welcome to the Chicken with Randy component of the show. So without giving away, you know, stuff that makes you win, please tell me everything you do on your chicken. What do you think that you need to do to your chicken to make it better? If you're somebody that's starting a chicken, Southern Croc, right now that you ought to be doing better.
Man, you know what? What helped us out with our chicken, and it did, it was a 180 on our chicken when I started doing this. I started brining them, and I'll brine the skin on. I want to keep that skin, you know, get that skin kind of dried up a little bit. You know, it kind of helps with bite, you know, making a bite through. But brining it
now,
was like
now. What do you brine them in?
Game changer. Oak Ridge game changer.
Now, do you cook thighs?
Yeah, I mean, you got to cook thighs. That's what everybody's using.
You scrape them?
I like to cook thighs. Yeah, I scrape the skin. Just like, you know, half the other people out there, you know, it sucks.
Oh, shit, I'd rather scrape a monkey's ass than scrape chicken
shit. You know,
I think
next time, Randy, I'm going to do a spatchcock chicken, though, man. I'm going to cut that dude down.
There you go, man. Now you're talking there. You're on it, John. You got to figure it out, bro. I've done the same thing, man. I scraped that damn chicken skin and done all that kind of crazy shit. But so you basically use a brine. I don't want you to give away anything that would make you know matter like Cody that sucks beat you.
Well, good. I'm on pride. What kind of brine in? What are you brine in?
I'm using Oak Ridge's Game Changer Bird Brine.
Okay.
Oak Ridge.
Which has become really popular. You know, Oak Ridge has become really popular lately.
Man,
which I know
puts out some pretty choice products. Man, his stuff is pretty damn good. Give it a shot if you get a chance, man. You know, you can get it online, or, you know, wherever. But, man, you know, we brine it in the Game Changer brine. Of course, we scrape the skins and we put them in the fridge, kind of let them kind of dry up a little bit while it's brining. Put it back on, and, dude, I feel hot on my chicken. I put my chicken on 11 o'clock, and I pull it off at 5 skill. And
you're cooking about 400 then, huh?
Right about 400, man, yep.
Yep,
and you know, I'm keeping a really good eye. I'm keeping a really good eye on it, man. I don't want it to burn, so you know, I'll do about 18 of them, and I'll pitch it. I'll have a few that are, you know, that don't make it. You know, skins come off or whatever. And I get my barbecue sauce real good and hot, man. I take that hot chicken straight into the dunk, and I put it on a drying rack and kind of let it sit there and do its thing for a few minutes. It goes in the box. That way, when it hits that judge's table, 9 times out of 10, my chicken's still going to be hot and juicy and moist. And it works good for us, man. You know, I see guys putting chicken on at, you know, 9 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, and thinking, oh, man, it's going to be a dry piece of chicken. You know, I just don't understand how you like chicken.
Cody puts this on at midnight, man. Cody puts this on at midnight.
That's right. I put mine on at 6 o'clock in the morning, son. 6 o'clock in the morning.
And again, I'm not trying to get, you know, like too proprietary with you or anything, but are you cooking your chicken on the same pit as you're cooking everything else on?
Man, I'm cooking my brisket on my cube, which is kind of like a drum smoker. And by the time I get the chicken, I've already got my brisket off resting.
And you buy that fucking bitch up, yeah.
I'll pull that firebox up to upper shelf, upper rack, and stoke it with some wood and a little bit more coals, and I'll cook it right there above it, man. And you know, it goes fast.
Yeah,
and, you know,
that,
it works
yeah.
well for us, man. You know, I don't know if other people could use my same technique and pull it off. I've got a buddy I've shown. You know, I had him come over and we did like a chicken class here in my kitchen one day. And he still has yet to receive a chicken call, and he's using my same flavor profile, same rubs, and the whole deal. And he can't pull off a call. So I don't know what he's doing different than I am. But
what do you think? If you had to guess, what would you think? Because I got the answer to this.
Oh, shit, man. I don't know. Maybe the woods are using or something, you know?
The difference is that you've done this, and you can look at that chicken, and you can tell them that chicken's done, and you can tell them that chicken's right, and you can pull it off. It's the instincts. It's always the instincts that makes people a better cook, in my opinion. I mean, am I wrong about that?
Yeah, I can see that, man. Yeah.
You know, you can look at that piece of chicken and you can say, hey, you can tip probably, you can do all kind of crappy dude to it, but you can tell when it's done and when it's not done, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah, I don't have to probe any of my chickens anymore. No, I know exactly what's going on with it.
Right. I mean, and that's what I'm kind of, I'm thinking, I'm just trying to, and please, I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. I'm just trying to help those cooks that are out there. You know, my wife, I love her dearly, but she, when she cooks, if it says it's going to cook at 12 minutes at 300 degrees in your oven, it's coming out, come hell or high water, after 12 minutes at 300 degrees, whether it's done or not done. And what makes you a better cook is when you recognize that there's so many factors involved and what you're doing with cooking, and it's temperature, it's humidity, it's the quality of the meat, it's all these things, and the variables are always there. So you cannot just plug the shit into a computer and spit out a fucking chicken McNugget and say it's awesome stuff. I mean, that's what makes you, John Bushman, an awesome barbecue cook, in my opinion.
Now let me ask you this, John. Let me ask you this. On the Oak Ridge, the barbecue, are you using like the rub, or do they have like a specific marinade you actually put that in?
Man, I'm using their rubs. I'm using a combination of on my chicken. I'm using a combination of the Secret Weapon and his comp rub. And I won't tell you the formula and you know my mixing, you know what, how much I'm mixing, but I'm using both those rubs, and I'm using his brine to brine my chicken.
Okay, I'm gonna throw the website up. I just want to make sure I get the link right. You know, he's got the Vinson rub. He's got a Secret Weapon rub, which is pork and chicken rub. He's got a Santa Maria, which is a steak rub, a competition beef and pork rub, and then he's got a game bird and chicken rub. So, you know, that's why I'm going to throw it up in the chat room. If y'all are paying attention tonight, you can get on the Oak Ridge Barbecue here, and you can be able to see what I'm looking at and what everybody else is looking at on here.
His Santa Maria rub, man, is great on a steak. I would use it much in a comp, but for home or, you know, if you'll put a little bit on a brisket, you know, that's pretty good too. But, man, like I said, he's got some pretty damn good rubs.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot on him until lately. It seems like the past month I've been noticing a lot of people putting up the Oak Ridge barbecue sign or, you know, different things like that, using his products and that. I've really noticed it the last couple months, just the last month, but, you know, here lately. When I've started seeing him really become really popular,
he used to be a comp cook. He doesn't do that anymore, and you know, this is his main thing here. You know, he's got a real job too, but this is his other thing. And I think he's only been really out there pushing it for the last 3 or 4 years. You know, he started, I believe, with the venison rub, and then he kind of moved on and added more products to the line and stuff. And man, it's the word spread, and it's good stuff. Like I said, you're gonna get a chance, man, to pick some of it up. You're like.
So, John, let me ask you about this, Bubba. Inject your chicken or don't inject your chicken?
I don't inject chicken, dude. That's, I don't know. You know, it gets to a point where, you know, enough's enough. It's like, shit, man, it is barbecue. We're not looking for the Holy Grail. You know what I mean? It's, you know, how far you want to go with it, I guess. I mean.
Do you inject any other meat?
I do inject my pork because I think it's such a huge piece of meat. That it needs something down in there, you know, just to kind of keep it a little bit moist and give a little bit of flavor deep into it. But I don't do my brisket, you know. That's it. That's as far as I go.
Now, what kind of style are you? I know you're up north, right there.
Yeah.
Are you? Well, you're up north from me. Why don't you tell everybody where you're from so that way they get an idea?
Man, I'm in Olathe, Kansas, man. It's a suburb of Kansas City. I'm probably, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes right outside downtown. So I'm cooking Kansas City style barbecue, sweet with a little bit of heat. You know, it's just like you see on Pitmaster, you know, stuff that like Rod Gray's putting out, True Bud. Obviously, I'm not kicking ass like them guys are, but it's, you know, it's a Kansas City style barbecue. It's nothing. Not vinegar based or southern based, you know, or anything like that. I'm not using mesquite or anything like that, like a Texas cook might, but that's what we're doing here.
The only damn thing that mesquite's good for is brisket. Yeah. The rest of it tastes like ass. Maybe chicken.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not a fan of mesquite, really.
What kind of wood product are you using to flavor your meat with?
Man, all of our wood, we've got a wood sponsor here in town, too, which really helps, man. I don't have to go out and hunt for wood and stuff. But
They use mulberry up there, don't they?
Man, no. I know some cooks out of Oklahoma that use mulberry. I ain't going to use mulberry. No, I'm
not. Nah, hell no.
Apple and white oak are the two that I like. Pecan, too, is a good one.
There you go. We got that out of him. Apple and white oak. Y'all know what kind of wood he's using. Now you can go buy the product.
Man, I ain't kicking that kind of ass, man. Don't follow what I'm doing. Lead you down the wrong path, brother.
who killed Kennedy? Who killed Kennedy?
Man,
I'll tell you who did kill Kennedy.
I screw up shit left and right.
You know what kills me is you'll cook at home one time or for your friends and you'll knock it out of the park and you'll be hanging out, having a few libations or whatever, and you don't have a ding dong damn idea about what you did. And you're like, it just pisses you off.
And you can't reproduce it to save your life.
No, it kills you, man. But I tell you, John, I'd love it if you get your ass down here to cook at Oaklawn the first weekend in May in Hot Springs.
Man, you know, I tell you what, I look at our schedule and see what's going on first of May. I haven't got past the, we're going to be cooking Osage and then Pleasant Hill, Missouri. Osage, Kansas and Pleasant Hill, Missouri. That's going to be our warm-up contest for Sam's Club. That's at the end of April. And I haven't looked at the end of April, man, to see what we're doing next.
The first weekend in May at the racetrack here in Hot Springs, they're having a contest called Smoke Line. And what it is that the horse race track and the live meet's over, but the Kentucky Derby's that weekend. And so they're letting all the guys go on the infield and cook, and they're having a big rock and roll band, and they're going to be showing the Kentucky Derby. So if you want to come down here for that and have a good time, I mean, I have no part in the sponsorship. I just want to hang out with my buddies. So,
that sounds like a lot of fun cooking right there in the infield, man. That'd be a good one to do. That sounds fun.
And there ain't no swimming pool. They ain't going to kick your ass out, Bobby.
I'll figure a way to get kicked out, bro. Don't worry.
I'm friends with all the cops down here. My wife's a public defender. I think I can hook you up, dude.
Deal. Yeah, we'll look into that, brother. I promise. We'll see what we can
do. I don't know if I'd want to hang out with Randy Hill. It could be a bad influence.
But yeah, I think you've already been a bad influence to you.
When I first met Randy, I was walking through Iola there, half liquored up, middle of the night. And I just happened to walk by and saw his logo on his smoker, and I was like, dude, that looks like some dude I could hang out with.
Little did you know it was a self-portrait. Now, I remember that too, and you bring up a good point, John. You'll meet people at the barbecue contest, and the minute you look at them and you meet them, you say, man, that's a good guy. I can hang out with a guy, and that to me is the best part of barbecue. It's not how many contests I win. It's not, whatever. It's meeting your friends along the way. And that's the cool shit about barbecue, if you ask me.
Since we started doing this, we have met some of the most quality people, man. I mean, some real good-hearted people from all walks of life, man. And I don't think I've met as many cool people and down-to-earth people and real people in the last, 3.5 years of doing the barbecue competitions than I have my entire life. And I've made a lot of great friends, man.
And that's what's important, It's not whether you win or well, you like to win. I mean, don't get me wrong. But
Randy just got so used to losing, he don't care no more.
Well, that's why I'm hanging with you, Cody. The thing of it is, you just really get to make good friends. And we speak a language that other people don't speak. We speak barbecue. If we talk about time, temperature, taste, or whatever, you go talk about that to somebody at church, they're like, you're a fucking retard. And we live in a world that other people don't live in. It's a bright, shiny place with unicorns and midgets and a lot of titties. And that's why I love this.
I'm on the same page, brother. That's why I love it.
I had you at titties, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, John, thanks for calling. And by the way, man, your wings are top-notch. I won't tell you right now. I mean, I had, my kids ate so many wings they could puke, and yours were off the hook. And I really
right
think
on,
that little modification you made was right on. It really was.
I tell you what, man, like I said, keep an eye open. Like I said, it's going to be under the Sweet Beaver label. And
Sweet Beaver.
Sweet Beaver, man. It's getting ready to get the store shelves here real soon. And once it comes out, I'll let everybody know. And try a bottle, man. It's pretty damn good.
Now, how many beavers have you cooked?
What's that?
Now, how many beavers have you cooked?
I haven't cooked any beavers. I've torn a couple up. warmed a couple up. I shouldn't be saying that, man. My wife's never even listening to this shit.
Well, that's what I was going to say, man. I Googled Sweet Beaver, and I didn't see no barbecue. But
you know,
he lost the fight.
I keep telling the guy he needs to change his logo to Sweet Beaver, now available in a bottle, and he won't do it.
Well, I love the name, man. Yeah, that'd be a good cop name.
It is.
You might think about that, Randy.
He cooks under Sweet Beaver. He sure does. He actually won North Kansas City last year.
I cooked under the name of Spanish Fly this year too. That was pretty cool. Because my shit's better than Spanish Fly.
I call bullshit.
You're calling right, John. Hey, man, thanks for calling in.
Did you get anything up on barbecueboner.com?
Not yet. I'm working on it. No, he's talking to me. He's giving me shit because I can't get a barbecue boner up.
The doctor can't get a barbecue boner up.
No, I got a website. I got a domain name, www.barbecueboner.com. And it's also our Southern Crunk site. We're going to be getting our website up pretty soon. So you guys can join into the foolhardiness that is Southern Crunk. But anyway, John, I really appreciate you calling in, Bubba. I'd really like to hook up with you on the trail, Bub. You cooking Iola this year?
Man, if they're going to do Iola, we'll be there for sure, man. It's a great contest. It's just, you know, if they're going to come back from Arkansas and, you know, put the time and effort, you ain't going to have a lot of boots on the ground to pull off a barbecue contest. So with them being in Arkansas, it's going to be pretty tough.
And I'm going to tell you, those guys are top-notch. You're right. And I got a lot of respect for those people that put those comps on, man. Trust me, I do. But anyway, I'd love to see you make it down here to smoke along if you get a chance. And I'll show you a good time, my friend.
All right,
now,
man. Randy, good
John, you got
to
any
you,
websites, anything you want to throw out there so anybody can find
man,
you right now?
Man, we just pimp stuff on Facebook. It's Smoking Bad Habit without the S, Cody. Smoking Bad Habit BBQ on Facebook.
All right.
And that's where we throw out everything out there. So that's it.
All right.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. Randy, we'll see you soon. Cody, good luck on Pitmasters, man, and I'll be following what you guys are all doing.
Thank you, brother.
John,
thank you.
Thanks so much, man. You're doing the work of the Lord, my friend.
Amen. Talk to you soon, boys.
Thank you much, John. Appreciate you, man.
Y'all ready for Tim Bones, Mark West? You ready for Mark West, Randy Hill?
I'm ready, man. I want to do some shigging.
You ready to do some shigging? Do some shigging on Mark West.
Give me some music, Jack.
Let me get him some music. Let me get him in the show and let's play a little music here. I got a song. I couldn't get it downloaded, but I got it. Mark West, how we doing that? Tim Bones Barbecue is in the house.
Man, that's a damn good song right there.
I figured you might like that one a little bit.
Made me cry.
Made you cry? How'd y'all get that song? I mean, I watched a few videos on it. He's playing that song. I always saw it, so I figured I'd play it for you.
Yeah, you know, we're known for a couple of things. Not only barbecue, but playing loud music and drinking a lot of cold beer. And that's always been one of our favorites ever since it came out.
What about you, Randy Hill?
What about me?
Yeah, what about you?
I'm just living the dream, man. I'm just glad to be alive. I'm on the right side
living
of
the dream. Yeah, you probably because you drank about a half a bottle of something over there right now.
Actually, man, I haven't. I just got the viremia, you know, and that kind of makes you, like, hallucinate and stuff. It's not
Hell,
cool.
You got plenty of shots and stuff over there. Won't you take one?
Hey, well, some things, you know, we just can't fix. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, mentally ill. You can't fix mentally ill.
Yeah,
now,
you can't fix stupid, man.
Now, we got Mark West with us tonight. Let me ask you, Mark, how did you get into the barbecue world? Did you grow up into the barbecue world, or is this something that just kind of popped up and went with you? Give all the listeners out there a little background of your history of how you actually got into the barbecue world.
I used to always do some, I guess the best way to put it is backyard cooking. You know, on New Year's Day, we'd always cook ribs in the backyard or, you know, something like that. And I didn't really know what in the hell I was doing. I just knew I was cooking them, and they were decent, you know. And had a friend of mine, his sister used to put on a contest. She asked him to come cook in it, and he did. And we started cooking, and, man, we started, you know, winning. But we paid our dues, and I was telling somebody yesterday, I remember, man, if we just got a trophy, whether it was sauce or chicken, or we didn't care, man, as long as we got a trophy. And, hell, for about the first 2 years we cooked, I don't think we got a single pork trophy, but, you know, we were just happy to be there and enjoyed doing it. And then we won our first grand championship, I think, in around end of 2002. And then it was, you know, we just were very fortunate to win quite a bit after that. So.
Well, tell me something. How did you come up with the name Ten Bones? Let's find that.
Man, we take our competition rib and we cut it down to 10 bones. And when I was putting the team together, I just said, man, I think that'd be a good name for the team, you know.
And obviously it's worked pretty well for you, huh?
Yeah, you know, we've been very fortunate, man. Every time you cook, whether it's at home or you got people over in a competition, or I know I do, I'm always critiquing everything I do, and I can look back on a contest if we don't do very well and can usually pinpoint what went wrong or, you know, overdone or not done enough or whatever. And same thing at home. Even when you win, even when we win, I can go back and critique a few things and, you know, kind of look at what we could have done maybe a little bit different. But as you know, each competition is different. Every season is different, and you know, time of the year we cook in snow and heat and rain, and it just affects the cooking, and you just got to roll with it, and then, you know, take your product and work that into whatever your elements are, you know.
How many people cook with you at a comp?
It just depends. You know, we've got about 4 or 5 core guys, and then we've got 2 girls that roll with us pretty good. And, you know, in a local contest, we may have 2 or 3 more. But for the most part, it's 4 or 5 guys and 2 girls. And
all right, man. Tell the truth. You make the women do the lettuce boxes, don't you?
He don't do lettuce boxes.
Yeah, we don't do it.
He runs the NBN circuit, and that's what you're gonna run this year, right? Correct.
Yeah, I'd like to do a little bit more KCBS this year. You know, we kind of cut our teeth on the MBN or the Memphis style, and that's what we probably do. So.
Well, where are you cooking on the MBN circuit?
Man, right now we're going to start off at the MBN Championship. That's coming up, I think, March the 8th. And,
right.
We are the defending grand champion for that one. We won it with Whole Hog last year, and we're going to do that one, and then
what's that down in Columbia, right? Isn't that down in Columbia?
It's in Columbus, Mississippi.
You might see me down there. I know one's coming out of retirement that's going to be down there. You know Hank Baden, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be down there cooking. I might swing down there and cook with him on the 8th and 9th. I haven't made up my mind yet, but he's coming out. You ever cooked against him?
Yeah, I've cooked against Hank quite a bit. He hadn't competed a lot here lately because he opened his restaurant, though, and
yeah,
he's been busy doing that. But he did hit me up on Facebook saying that he was thinking about cooking down there, and, hell, that's in his backyard. And I hadn't cooked in Columbus, down in Columbus in a long time, so I'm anxious to kind of get back down there and get a shot.
You pretty much dominated the NBM circuit here the past couple of years, didn't you?
Well,
yeah.
You know,
I don't want to bring any bad blood. I know the other team, and I'm not going to bring him up. So, that's why. I know you're one of the top-ranked NBM teams right now, being around.
Yeah, I'd say that we probably have finaled and triple-finaled more than anybody on the circuit in the past 3 or 4 years. And, we didn't cook a lot last year. We cooked 6 or 7 times, and I think we won 3 grand. So, that's pretty good, there. And so we'll just see what happens.
Well, I got a question for you because, I've never cooked an NBN event. I'm a virgin. And if I don't get my cherry popped, where do I need to cook?
Man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of really good contests out there on the NBN side. One of my favorites is Nashville. I mean, they I love Nashville.
Tennessee?
Yeah, Nashville, Tennessee. And that's in August, I think. That's a good one. I mean, South Haven Spring Fest is a good one in South Haven. And Cleveland, Mississippi's got a good one, Oktoberfest. It's in the fall in October, obviously. Oh, I tell you what, a really good one is the one up in Galax, Virginia. That one is, it's in July, and in the Memphis area, it'd be 110 degrees, and it's 70 degrees when you go up there. And their grand champion trophy's a custom-made banjo, and then they give out fiddles for first and second place. And
you're saying you're playing second fiddle, huh?
Well, we brought home a banjo and 3 fiddles, so we got a little quartet, I guess.
I'm sorry, I couldn't pass that up, man. I'm sorry. Yeah,
well, the other thing about the Galax contest and the Nashville contest is they're dual sanctioned. Nashville's always been a dual, but this year Galax had the KCS element to it, so. They're both good contests, and if you didn't want to jump out there and do all 3 of the NBN categories, you could still do your KCBS stuff and then hit up 1 NBN category if you wanted to.
Well,
that's what we did last year. I guess as Randy said, we popped our cherry last year in an NBN contest. We went down to Dyersburg, and which was the closest one to us. We want to go down and get our own feel about it. Everybody talks about, you got to do this, dog pony show. I really enjoyed it. I really like the NBN cooks. If we get a chance, I'd like to do another one this year. You was away at that one. I didn't get to meet you down there. The other boys won that one, so.
we did Dyersburg 2 years, the first year they did it 2 years ago, and it was a good contest. Yeah. It was hotter than hell, but.
It definitely was.
Well, let me ask you this, though. If you're a first-time cook, want to cook NBN, what advice do you want to give us? What advice do you tell?
A lot of people think that NBN or Memphis in May is about bullshitting, and it's not. I mean, you got to be able to talk to the judges, but when I talk to the judges, I literally explain to them just what we do from start to finish. And I try to talk to them and explain it or present it in a way that they can understand it. And a lot of people, I don't know what to say. And I always say, just tell it the way you did it, and you got 15 minutes. And by the time you tell your story and show them, the grill and, you talk about your grills and it's really a pretty logical process. And I'd sit down and make some notes. And I think one of the things that we started doing that really, I think, helped us become successful is I got an Excel spreadsheet, kind of like what you see Tuffy Stone has done on his part on the Kansas City side. But I've always had an Excel spreadsheet, and it says at 3 o'clock we're doing this, at 3:30. I mean, it is really laid out from 12 o'clock on a Friday afternoon until finals on Saturday. And, I always said that way, if I walked out of the tent or anybody could walk in on our team and look at the schedule, see what needed to be done. That way we didn't miss any steps. So I'd say, do a little homework, have your plan, and write down kind of what you want to tell the judges, and it's okay to have a sheet or something next to you when you're talking to them, because a lot of times, hell, they're as nervous as a new judge is as nervous as a new team.
Well, the question I have is, everybody's got this perception of you got to have, like, the tables with the you know, with the tablecloths and the white gloves. They're going to check your fingernails, make sure there's no dirt under them, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I think that's a misperception. I don't think you have to do all that. Am I wrong or?
Well, you do need to be clean. I mean, that's one of the criteria that they judge you on is area.
I know. I didn't mean to imply otherwise, but, you know.
Yeah. But as far as the tablecloths and all that crap, no, you don't have to have that, man. As long as your area is clean, you can have an 8x8 tent with a table and styrofoam cups, and if your product is there, it's there, and the judges know that, you know.
Well, everybody thinks about the picket. Tim Phillips just put up a good point. Everybody thinks about the little picket fences and all that kind of stuff. I mean, how important is that?
You know, and that's what I was saying. You know, the picket fence, you don't have to have the picket fences. That's like somebody say, Tim said litter patrol. You know, they do look for that. They don't want cigarette butts. They don't want trash in here. But, you know, I look at that as a different reason, is that it keeps the contest area clean. You know, and that's like when we did our presentation, I walked around. People, because they had a concert there the night before, and our trailer was actually right in front of the concert, and there was beer bottles, there was cans, there was soda cans, there was cigarette butts. I picked all that up because I didn't want to get scored off of. But, you know, it actually keeps everything clean for you. But, you know, I don't think that's really what it's about. When we did our first NBN contest, you know, it's about the cooking. Number one, it's about the cooking. And if you don't win in the blind box, I can tell you right now, if you don't win in the blind box, you won't win the contest, because we did very well in presentation, scored very highly, very good. But, you know, when our ribs went into the presentation box, they wasn't where I wanted them. And, you know, I got kicked off for that. What do you think about that, Mark?
I mean, you're 100% right, man. If you don't win your table, you probably aren't going to make finals. And, you know, if you've got a really good product and you've got three decent judges, they're going to judge you straight tens, and then they'll do tens 9-9, tens 9-8 for that third team. So that's not going to hurt you. But where you get killed is on that blind table. And so you've got to build that really good blind box, and your product's got to be there, and that's what a lot of other misconceptions are. Oh, well, he can sell it, or he can do this, he can do that. Well, the bottom line is you got to have a product to put in that blind box.
You know, and that's what I told everybody. You know, I think we placed 8 out of 18 teams down there. All we cooked was ribs. You know, when we put our food in the blind box, we knew it was good, but it wasn't where we wanted it yet. It wasn't exactly where we wanted it, but it was good. And, you know, our presentation, we scored very, very high. If we would have done well in the blind box, we would have made finals. And we knew that when we put the food in the blind box, that it wasn't just the tenders we wanted it to be. So, you know, that's what you got to look at. And a lot of people don't know about the blind box in NBM. They think it's just you talking to the judges, and that's it. You know, they don't know that other side.
No, you got to get past them. The question I have is, a lot of people feel like, particularly on the whole hog, that you got all this pineapple and all this kind of shit laying out there as far as garnish. How important is that?
You know, it makes everything look a little better. You know, we put out some strawberries, some different things, put on some lettuce on the grill. You know, it makes your food look better. It really does. And Mark,
I think you got to put in the next case, you got to put. I think I need to put $100 bills across the front of my pit as they roll in there, so they can wipe their mouth with them. And I think I'd do better. I'm just kidding, man. But seriously, how important is the garnish as far as, you know, pursuing that whole pig?
Well, I'm a certified judge. I've judged finals before, and I've seen teams like us that garnish, and then I've seen teams that don't. And if you can keep your cooker clean, man, it adds another element to it. When you show that pig in there and you don't have any garnish, if the pig is perfect and looks good and your cooker is clean, you can get away with it. You know, I was talking to Dodie, my better half, earlier tonight. We were talking about some different ideas for what we were going to do as far as garnishing the grill and stuff. And, you know, you don't – sometimes when you garnish, you're covering up, you know, maybe
flaws.
The hands. You know, yes,
flaws.
So not only are you decorating, but at times you can be covering up, you know, and hiding some things that you can't control. So, you know, it's just a couple of different elements there that's going on when we're decorating the grill.
So what size of hog is ideal in your opinion if you're going to cook a whole hog?
Man,
what,
you know,
what
we we stay somewhere about 140. That seems to be our kind of our ideal weight. We can cook, you know, we've cooked 200-pound hogs. Man, they're just a beast. And they're hard to maneuver and get in a smoker. And so for us, it's around 140. That's kind of our go-to weight.
And anything, you know, I'm not trying to shig off you too much, but what other advice would you give to somebody that's trying to cook a whole hog for the first time?
Man, I'd say cook one at home first. And when we inject the hams more than we do anything, because as you know, there's no fat in those hams. And
right.
If anything's going to dry out or be tough, it's going to be that ham. So we inject the ham, man, like, we inject it 3-4 times more than we do the shoulders. And, inject
the
tenderloin. Do what?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the loin.
Oh, yeah. I was getting ready to say and injecting the tenderloin is really a personal preference. I've done it and I haven't done it. You got to be careful because you poke a lot of holes in that loin, it's going to dry out on you. So, you know, you can inject it on the back end if you want to. It just, to me, is more of a personal a personal opinion of, you know, what you're going to do. And I would, if I were doing it at home, I'd take one loin and I would inject it, and the other one I wouldn't, or I'd inject half of it on the front end. And on the, you know, you got
right.
Inject on the front end, on the back end, you cannot inject. I mean, there's a bunch of different things you can do, but I would try all that at home just to see how it comes out for you.
You know, in Myron Mixon's cookbook, he mentions taking like a brisket or I can't remember if it's a pork butt or what, and you stick it around the loin, and you let that thing cook around the loin, and then you throw away the brisket or whatever, and then you serve the loin. Have you tried that, or do you think that's good advice?
Well, I'll tell you something that we've done is we cook the hog on its back, and or butterfly style, you may have heard it referred to, and we'll take
so make
right. it off. Do what?
So you bowl it?
Yeah.
Make it into a bowl?
We'll take the fat caps off the shoulders when we're trimming them, and we'll line those directly up under the center of the hog just to give that loin a little bit more insulation. I haven't tried the butts or the brisket or anything just because of the way we cook it, that wouldn't work. Now, if you were cooking it running style, you could probably
right.
tuck something up under there, and it wouldn't really matter. But, you know, we're building – not only are we, you know, kind of cooking it in its own juices, but we're also working on the bark, building the bark while we're cooking. And so if I had something laying in there, it would it'd mess that up.
Is anybody cooking those pigs on a rotisserie?
Man, I knew one guy that he called it the Hoginator. His name's Ronnie Hamilton out of Cleveland, Mississippi, but he cooked 8 hogs 1 year at Memphis and May at the same time.
How did that work out for him?
He didn't make finals, but he did pretty decent. He and I don't know how he had them in there, but he cooked them. You know, they were hanging. They weren't. I guess they were vertical. I guess is the right word. And damnedest thing I'd ever seen.
It just seems like you could do a whole hog on a rotisserie. And that's the one place I could see that working, where you put it on a rotary device. That way you can crisp the skin and keep everything the way you want it. But nobody's really doing
it. You know, I see that. I see what you're saying, kind of like on the rod, but, you know,
you'll
your juices out of it. You know, you're going to lose your juices. You know, like Mark's saying, he cooks it like a bowl style to where, you know, everything's spread out to where it holds all your juices in. The skin holds everything in. Holds your sauce, your marinade, your injection, holds all that in. If you do that, you're going to lose it. Isn't that correct, Mark?
Yeah. I mean, it is. And the other thing is when that hog, man, I mean, if you had it on a spit, and you have to have it wrapped up in something, because when that hog gets done, man, it's so tender. One flip, turn, that thing would be falling off.
It starts falling apart. You're right. Tim Sills has a question for you, Mark.
There you
he
go.
Wants to know
I
you,
think I hit on that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Randy.
He wants to know your first experience cooking whole hog. How old were you? And tell us about it.
Man, I tell you, I want to say I made finals the first time we ever cooked it. And I know that's crazy, but we practiced a couple times at the house, and, when I first started cooking, I did ribs only, and I think, you know, and y'all did ribs only in Dyersburg, and you know with
right.
ribs, they've got to be perfect. I mean, you got to
right.
pay a damn attention to detail with those ribs, because there's no fudge factor. I mean, they're either overdone or they're
okay.
not done
well,
enough.
Well, let me ask you this for Indian ribs, because there's a huge difference between IBCA and KCBS ribs. Do you do the two ribs that you got to pull apart so they show they feather? Is that how you do that or what?
Whole rack. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, in the blind box, I give them two bones, you know, where they can pull them and take the tendon there. Now, on side, I may give them, you know, I may give them three or four bones, you know, usually out of the very center of the rib, and they can do what they want to with them. But,
and more, you know, like Randy's never cooked ambient, so he don't really know. Like, when you got the judges with you, Mark, what do you do? Because, you know, when we did it, you know, I did the two bones going into the blind box, and then when you get the judges at your contest event, you know, you got a whole rack there is what I did. I did the whole rack, trimmed it down,
right.
Got the whole rack, and I pull it apart. I might give them two bones. Well, I see what you're saying about three bones and putting it on their plate, just pulling it apart. Do you cut yours at all?
No, I don't. You know, and the only reason I would is if they were so tough I had to.
Right.
But typically, you know, we always do all three categories, and typically our ribs are the ones that suffer. So if anything, we always generally tend to overcook them just simply because we're so busy doing the other things, we tend to forget about the damn ribs.
But I was always told that for an MBN event, which makes it fairly unique in the barbecue world, and I thought this was a really cool thing that they do, you don't serve an individual rib. You serve two ribs so that the judges can take those ribs and pull them apart and see if they'll feather just right. Am I wrong about that, or is that a myth, or
no? I mean, they want to be able to check the tenderness, and not only the tenderness on the bite, but the tenderness on the pull. And
right,
can't do that with just, you know, with one bone. And
I'm not talking about one bone. I'm talking like congruent bones. You know, everybody knows you're gonna turn out like six or however many ribs, but you need two congruent bones that are not cut that you can pull those bones apart and see if it feathers or what it does. Am I wrong about that, or?
No, you're right. When they pull those bones apart, they want it to pull clean, and you know, that's another one of the things that they check for.
So you got to damn near overcook them then, because if you're going to do that, I mean that's kind of hard. You got to have a little bit of tug on that bone, and it's just kind of feather apart. And
well,
that's a small window.
And another thing, Randy, you're cooking baby back ribs. You know, a lot of people don't cook the spare ribs in the in the NBA.
I don't cook baby backs. I cook all spares, man.
That's what I'm saying. You know, in NBN, I cook baby backs. Mark, I'm presuming you cook baby backs. Most everybody else in the NBN network cooks baby back ribs, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, that's the reason why. It makes more sense, because you can pull a baby back much better than you cook a spare, man. I mean, because am I
that's
wrong about
your
that?
Shit's tough. That's because your shit's so tough you can't get it out.
I'm taking fiber and cola. I'm taking fiber and a stool softener. My shit is not tough.
You know, it's funny. On, you know, KCBS, everybody cooks a spare rib, and MBN, Memphis and Mayor, most of the majority, I'd say 95% cook a baby back.
And I'm a baby back cooker. I cook baby backs. What do you cook, Mark? You like cooking baby backs, or you like cooking spare, or the St. Louis cut? Because I'd really cook a baby back rib any day over a St. Louis cut rib.
Man, I'd rather cook one. I'd rather eat one. You know, that's the way I look at it. I just don't really care for spare ribs. And if I go to a barbecue place,
you're missing out on the best part, though. If you're going to eat a rib and not in a barbecue contest, it's the damn knuckle between the spares. The knuckle, man. I love the knuckle.
I think you lost your mind. We call
the
it
rib
tips,
man. Yeah, man, I love it.
I had somebody the other day for those. Can you make me some rib tips? I said, I don't cook those ribs. And they said, well, can you chop up in baby backs and give me some rib tips? I was like, no.
To me, the best part of ribs is that damn knuckle, that rib tip. Yeah, that's what's big in Chicago, man. Everybody eats those damn, you know, rib tips.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a personal thing. It's all a personal thing. It's what you like, you know.
You're right.
Well, let me ask you this, Mark. You was on last season of Barbecue Pitmasters, and you're going to be on this season of Barbecue Pitmasters, so I can announce that. What do you find? Randy's been on Barbecue Pitmasters. He was on the season before you, and he screwed up, didn't cut his chicken up. I bought him a knife.
Yeah,
But what do you find, what was your most valuable experience from the Pitmaster show that you done?
You know, man, I don't even know how to answer that. It was an experience, you know, and Randy can tell you. It's a lot of damn work, man. I mean, it's all games on TV, but, man, behind the scenes, it's a lot of damn work and a lot of hurry up and wait. And, you know, it was fun. It was an experience. I'm looking forward to doing it again. I have a kind of a better idea of what to expect now. And not necessarily from the cooking part, just from the overall experience of, because you're in the unknown the whole time. You don't know what you're cooking. You know, you don't know who your competitors are. You know,
right.
When you get there, find out. And so, you know, all that, I'm more of a control person. I like to have a better idea of, you know, when what I'm doing. And there, you're just in the damn dark.
I'll tell you one thing right now, Mark, though, it's kind of interesting is, you know, I was really relieved not to get on the show. And I know that sounds weird, but the first time you're on the show, you're just damn glad to be on the show. You know, so it's all fun. You know, who gives a damn how you do? You're on the show, so you won. Second time on, it's like, oh, shit, I'm on the show another time. I better show I know what the fuck I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So in that aspect of it, to me, is a little bit more stressful, you know. And so I'm pulling for you. I hope you kick Cody's ass.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope I do pull him up. I'll be honest with you. I'm saying it right now. I'll say it live across the radio. I'm looking forward to cooking against 10 Bones in the first round. I'm looking for it. I sent him a message the other day. But, hey, that's what I'm looking for. You know, I'll just go ahead and say it. I think you're a conky ass. That's just my point of view, and I like that because that's who I am. So, you know, that's what I want. I want the person that's the most arrogant and the person that believes they're the best, and that's who I want to cook against. You know, when we go contest, I'm not looking for the people that's cooking first time or whatnot. I'm looking for the big dogs on the block, and that's who I'm looking for.
You know, I used to, when I first started my the big dog on the circuit, and I always said to be the best, you got to beat the best.
You're right about that, baby.
You know, and there's a lot of teams that if Myron was cooking there, they wouldn't go to the contest. And I was totally the opposite. I want to against, you know, the Red Hot Smokers and the Myron Mixons and all the other teams, you know, the Bob Gibson, all those guys that have won, and who I want to compete against.
You know, a lot of people ain't like that. They want to cook against people that, you know, you never heard of before, the first contest. But that's not the way we are. You know, I'm looking forward to cooking against you, and that, you know, that's who I want to cook against. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping in the first round we come up against you, and that's what I'm looking for. So,
and you know, I may come across as being cocky, and I probably a little am, but I tell you what I am.
Right.
I'm very humble. I'm very humble, and I understand that at any given day we can be beat, and at any given, it's like Pat Burke, you know, I don't know if you know Pat, but Pat used to cook with Mike Mills and, you know, with Apple City, and they won the first team to win 3 grand champions at Memphis in May. But, you know, for a long time he was on that role, kind of like we've been on, and he always, and you never know when that role's going to be over, so enjoy it. That's what we do, man. We have a good time. We party, and but come Saturday morning, we're all business. And then Saturday night, you know, we're tired, and if we win, great, and if we don't, we're disappointed, of course, but then we're packing up and, you know, talking about what we did wrong, what we can do better, and moving on to the next contest. So,
that's the same way about Myron. You know, everybody thinks he's an asshole, but, you know, he has earned the right to be arrogant and cocky, and, you know, you have earned the right to be arrogant and cocky, and, you know, you should be because, I mean, you have done some extraordinary things just like Myron has. And, you know, that's the difference in barbecue. You know, you should be proud of what you do. You should be confident and have that arrogance about you.
Well, and, you know, Myron's just Myron. You know, he and I have always gotten along. And, like I said, I've been cooking against him for, I guess, going on 14 years now. And so I've known him for a long time. And, you know, to me, he's not arrogant. He's just Myron. But
you know, that's the same way. You know, when we talk to a lot of people, they go, "Is he really an asshole like he is on TV?" No, not really.
He's down to earth.
He just, you know, he's funny. He's just himself. That's who he is. And you know, you can't change that. You know, that's the things that people got to understand. And he's not really an asshole like everybody thinks he is. You know, he's a really down to earth kind of guy. So.
But you know, if you don't believe you can win, you're probably not going to win.
That's what you got to admire about you, that you believe you can win. You're there. You know, I watched you on Pitmaster. I was like, man, look at this asshole. But from the very beginning, you was like, I'm about to kick her ass. And you was on it the whole show. I mean, never gave up. You know, I watched some people, they'll come out being badasses and talking shit. And, you know, I ain't going to say any names, but I watched another show where somebody was being an asshole and running everybody down. Then he got booted off the first round. And he was like, well, you know, I'm not really a cook and blah, blah, blah. Just, you know, stupid shit like that. If you're going to own it. Just go ahead and own it, you know.
Yeah,
and you know, I got to tell you guys, I hope you both did good on the show, and I'd love to. Are you going to cook anything outside of NBN this year? Are you going to like to look at KCBS or anything like that?
Yeah, I want to. I really do. And I'm just going to have to see, you know, where they are and if we can fit it in our schedule. But I definitely would, you know, want to. And
I don't want to cut you off because the show's over in 15 seconds, but I got to tell you one thing. Bring you some bubble gum because you're going to need it while you're chewing on Cody's ass.
Oh, man. We're still rolling, so don't worry about the 15 seconds. It's still running. The show's still running. So. But,
well,
yeah.
I got a piece. I'm bailing right now.
All right, brother. Well, Mark,
I'll leave
is there
out.
Anywhere? I know you. That's cool. Go ahead. I know you got a cooking class. Mark, I know you got a cooking class that you've been doing. Is anybody tell us a little bit about the cooking class, what you'll be teaching them in that, and how they can kind of get a hold of you and get signed up for that class you're doing.
All right. Man, we're on Facebook, 10 Bones Barbecue. I'm on Facebook, Mark West, and we've got a website. It's just 10bonesbbq.com. And, man, in the cooking school, we literally go over everything that you would need to cook. And not only do we go over, you know, the contest, but we go over judging, we go over scoring, presentation, blind box. And, you know, a lot of teams don't understand the scoring process.
Right. And which, you know, unlike the KCBS this year, they changed up the scoring numbers this year in the KCBS world. I don't know if you
saw
that,
that,
but they actually changed that up this year. So that's something that's a little different that a lot of people don't understand, don't know. And that's kind of like the NBN.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people's not open to the NBN because they think it is a dog and pony show. And, you know, and that's how we kind of got into it. People was talking about it. And I was like, I'm going to go see for myself, go see what I think about it, go see, you know, the pros and cons of everything. You know, it was probably one of the funnest and one of the most contests I liked doing that year. And it was our first one, but I really enjoyed it. You know, we took 8 out of 18 teams down there, some really good teams down there. And, you know, we really enjoyed it. So, you know, that's the things that they have to understand. The scoring processes do change. And that's something to learn in your cooking class.
Yeah, and you know, the way I like to talk to people about it is if I'm trying to win a category, I sure would like to be able to talk about my product. And
right.
When you do a blind only, you don't get to talk about it. And, you know, the other thing is take KCBS, for example, when you're judged in KCBS, you're judged against that table. You're not judged against your peers. You're not judged against
right.
anybody else that's on that table. MBN or Memphis MA, if you make finals, dude, you're judged against the other teams that make finals.
Right.
And, you know, you don't – and on-site is different than in the blind. I mean, you know, you don't share judges in blind that you share on-site. And so
you know –